CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gene Marks, the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, The Philadelphia Inquirer, Washington Times, The Hill, other distinguished publications. Gene writes about small business because that is the business of America. Small businesses depend upon their employees, always. The young get hired by small businesses. The jobs growth in America is small businesses. So we come to a recommendation about small business and happiness. Gene, this is can't be emphasized enough. Making your employees happy is the way to keep the company growing. Even if things were good, Gene, you don't grow as fast when employees are either alienated or missing in action. So how do you keep them happy?
Well, for starters, I just want to point out, and I'm going to write about this. There's so many things to write about, John. This was a new survey just came out this week from Indeed, the employee search platform. Most of us know that, and Forrester, which is a research firm as well. And they found an overwhelming number of employees would actually take less compensation to work at a nicer place where they're happier. And I can't emphasize that enough for business owners. Like, I mean, listen, John, I'm not saying like I run the greatest business in the world. I mean, I have 10 employees and about a dozen contractors, but we had like very little turnover in the past 15 years, even during this whole great resignation. And mainly it's because, I mean, I don't breathe down my employees' necks. Everybody knows each other pretty well. They like their jobs. I think I'm okay working with them. They seem happy. And they might be paid a little bit less than if they were working for a big tech firm, you know, like Google or Salesforce. But they enjoy their jobs. They like the flexibility. They feel like they're making a difference. I think those are the criteria. I spoke to a woman this week about her company, and she was telling me how they spend so much time on their mission statement. And that's what they use when they recruit employees, John, because people want to work for a business that has a mission that dovetails into what they feel is important as well. And if you've got the right mission and you've created a happy workplace and you have pizza Fridays and you give your employees flexibility and you always have your door open as a business owner, I'm telling you, you will retain and attract employees over and above those big corporate, you know, competitors who have the bureaucracy and less of a, you know, a fun atmosphere to be around. So just remember that if you're a business owner, you can be way better than your corporate competitors.
Gene, what is quiet quitting? From the Wall Street Journal.
There was a big article. And when the Wall Street Journal writes something, John, other people then write about it as well. You know, it's like they sort of set the topic. And this past week, they wrote about quiet quitting, which is this trend that they are finding generally among Gen Xers, you know, the younger employees in the workforce, but some millennials as well, that, you know, and get this, John, they don't quit their jobs. They quietly quit by just not doing enough work. You know, or doing the bare minimum, or they're working from home and just kind of getting by. So they're kind of quietly quitting their jobs by not doing, meeting their full responsibilities. So in other words, they're lousy employees, right, John? I mean, so at some point they will be found out. At some point during performance evaluations, they will be fired or gotten rid of, particularly when the labor market rebounds or more employees are available or replaced by technology. And it makes me laugh when the media, not that I'm picking on the Wall Street Journal, they love to write about this like this is some kind of a new trend, as if there weren't lousy employees in the 1940s or 1950s. Like, this is just a new discovery that there are some people that don't want to work hard or do their best job. It's not a new trend. It's always been around. Now it's got a new buzzword called quietly quitting.
It's got a big number here, Gene. Let me read you from the Wall Street Journal column. Jim Harder, chief scientist for Gallup's Workplace and Well-being Research, said workers' descriptions of quiet quitting align with a large group of survey respondents that he classified as not engaged, those who will show up to work and do the minimum required, but not much else. More than half of the workers surveyed by Gallup who were born after 1989, that's our children, Gene.
Yeah.
54% fall into this category. Now, your children and my children...
I don't believe my kids are that way.
Yeah, no, fortunately or unfortunately, they follow us. They work all the time.
They do. And their friends do, to their credit. I mean, we know their friends and, you know, we spend time with them and they are very much engaged. And my kids are in their mid to late 20s. First of all, you know, no offense on the Gallup study. It's not necessarily a scientific study. It's not peer reviewed. It's not something that's been done by other places. So I always kind of question. I don't know the definitions of not engaged, what that even means. And I still say, John, if you were to work through, you ever see the pictures of those workhouses in the 1940s or the typist pools? There'd be like 100 people typing in a, you know, in a non-air conditioned room. I don't know. You take a walk through there, you know, 80 years ago, and I think you'll find a similar percentage of employees that weren't engaged.
That's Gene, a puzzle, Gene. I'm not certain of this, but just as an observation, I came into the workforce in the early 1970s during a very bad recession where a job was very hard to find, extremely hard, even in Manhattan, no matter what your education level was. I wonder if there's a distinction between those of us who arrived in the workplace at that moment and those who arrive at the workplace just out of college or out of university when there's a boom going on.
I think that if you were to ask those employees, they wouldn't necessarily consider themselves to be in a time of boom times. Right now there are a lot of worker pay issues, a lot of, compensation and benefit issues. A lot of workers are coming out of the pandemic, upset with mental health, concerns that they're dealing with. So I'm not sure if they're coming into this feeling as if it's, a boom time. And by the way, a lot of the millennials started in the workplace, John, after the Great Recession, 2008, 2009, when times were really, really tough as well for getting jobs. So I'm not sure that's the case. It's just I keep pointing towards the media that makes these stories up that I think existed for as long as there've been employees, but they're trying to turn it into a new thing. That's
all right. We go to Snidely Whiplash in the Wall Street Journal. Snidely Whiplash, a.k.a. Jamie Dimon. Good heavens. Good heavens. This man is the head of the biggest bank in the solar system, and he's unhappy about Zoom and management. What?
First of all, your audience trends to an older demographic, so they'll understand his comment when he calls remote work is like managing by Hollywood Squares. I thought that was line.
What is that? You know, let's look it up on YouTube. What do you think it is? Yeah.
So funny. It's so funny. And then, Elon Musk, just a few weeks ago said, sure, you can work from home as long as it's after you've worked for 40 hours, in the office, then feel free to work from home. There is this, obviously people are taking sides about the work from home debate. And John, it's converging. As people are coming back to the workplace itself and COVID is in our rearview mirror, it's converging and it's all turning into one word, John, and it's all hybrid. Yeah. Hybrid, So even Jamie Dimon, he wants good talent. He has just got to concede the fact that, it can still work in a hybrid environment very well if an employee assumes that. You were asking about my son. My son goes in, they have a hybrid environment. He works at an engineering firm in New York. He goes in every day because he likes to be in the office. But he's got other colleagues of his who are great. They don't like going in every day. They can get their work done remotely. And I think smart managers are recognizing that. They're just balancing that. It's hybrid, hybrid, hybrid is what the future is going to be.
And in our final 30 seconds, Gene, would you say that this is a moving story? In other words, nobody's settled on what to do. It really depends on the city, the circumstances, the commuting, all of that.
Yes, it is. It makes a difference as to where you are, where you're located, what kind of business that you run, and what kind of culture that you have. The takeaway there, John, is COVID and Zoom and working from home has really had a huge disruptive impact on the workplace overall. And it's given us all an opportunity to rebalance our professional and personal lives. I think in the end, it'll be for the best. It's just going to take a little bit of time to work out.
Gene Marks, a small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,